You are listening to the Rock That Creative Job podcast with Jamie Roberts, Season 2, Episode 54. This podcast has a very focused mission to inspire, motivate, and empower you with the tools, insight, and guidance you need to get better jobs, better work, better pay, and build the creative career and life you've always wanted. So click subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast and let's rock. Hey, creatives, welcome to the Rock That Creative Job podcast. I am your host, Jamie Roberts, and today we have an awesome, awesome guest that is going to give you so much information about the recruiting world. Her name is Suzanne Wolf. She is the owner and president of Land a Job, which is a Kansas City recruiting firm. In addition to her 14 years in recruiting, she actually began her career in a creative profession. She was a graphic designer and a creative director and spent 20 years doing that before she moved into the world of recruiting. Without further ado, I want to hand it over to Suzanne and welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for being here. I know you have so much great stuff to tell our audience, and I'd love to just hear your story and the work that you did before you moved into recruiting in the creative space, and then how that kind of evolved into you, you know, helping other people find the work that they love.
Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I always say maybe I'm like the Heinz 57 of jobs through my career, but I think a lot of creatives, that's a similar background. But I started years ago working for an industrial linen supply company. I was doing marketing, sales, and then they had a little brochure they wanted designed. So I started designing brochures. I moved on to the newsletter, and that kind of morphed into, I think I'm going to start my own greeting card company. This was years ago. I'm also an illustrator. I illustrated a children's book.
Oh my God.
Tons of different little things, but I love design. I love graphic design. My greeting card company led me to a job as a creative director for a digital printing company. I love that job, and it was just fantastic. And I learned all kinds of great things. That's when I first heard of Land a Job, and that's where the company I own currently, but I would use Land a Job to hire creatives. So I was hiring creatives to work on designs, working with people that way. So that's my first connection to Land a Job.
Oh, nice.
And I had a friend that had a recruiting company, asked me to come join her, which I did that for a few years, and that was more IT related, but there's some development worked in there too. So I kept my foot in the door there. And then I had an opportunity to join Land a Job as a recruiter, and I took that job and I haven't looked back. I love what I do. And with my people, my creatives, my marketing people, I absolutely love connecting great people with great companies and finding that match.
Yes. So it's all about the match, we know, right? Yeah. Because it's like, it has, the alignment has to be a thing. But I'd love to know more about like how you assess talent when when someone reaches out to you. Like I want our audience to understand how to be successful when working with a recruiter like you that's actually really dedicated to making sure creatives get the right positions and that your clients get the right creatives.
Well, I think it's really important when people reach out that they're well prepared. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you want to have a well put together resume, and we'll talk about that, but we want to follow all the rules. We want to make sure it's going to clear ATS systems, applicant tracking or ATS applicant tracking systems. You want to make sure you have a really solid portfolio or website, whatever you want to call it. That's very, very key. It needs to be modern. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me backtrack just a second on the resume thing.
Yes.
So
because I have a resume course, and that was
you
my
have
intention.
A resume course.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, that was my intention, is to make sure that people know probably a lot of what you're going to say. Cause like, that's like the first step for us. And I think we focus on the work, but if they can't understand the resume, they're never going to get to the work.
Check out Jamie's course if you haven't. It's simple. It tells you how to do it. It's frustrating for me as a recruiter when someone's like, well, I've been this amazing designer for XYZ companies. People should just know I'm great. Mm-hmm. That is true if you know someone, right? So when you're just connecting with people you already know, and maybe they can pass your resume along, okay, great. But if you're out there applying for lots of jobs. I hear this all the time. I'm applied for 60 jobs and I never heard back. It's like, well, let's look at your resume. First of all, are you following the rules of formatting? It's so important. We as creatives, we want it to look pretty. We want it to look nice. I agree. However, there's times and places for those resumes, and there's a time and place for the correctly formatted ATS friendly resume. So,
The boring one that we like to like pretend that we don't have to do, but we really do. And the thing is, like, it may be visually unengaging, but like it's saying the story in the way that it needs to be said. And so like we have to remember that it's all about the story you're telling through the words and the organization of the information. Because if someone can't understand your story, like if you're getting that resume and you're like, I don't know what this person does or what their high value is, it's going to be really hard for you to advocate for them.
Exactly. Especially maybe creatives with a little more experience. Maybe they have 15, 20 years experience and they just list a bunch of clients. Unfortunately, those days are gone. It's not just you can do that and that will get you anywhere, because if it's not just a regular human reading your resume, who's going through a system, you're just going to get kicked out because
There's not enough information. That
there's
system
nothing
is
there.
programmed to look for other things, and they're not there. And the name dropping doesn't really do it for the bots.
It does not. They don't care. The bots don't care. They're just like, get it through.
Yeah, they're not looking for street
Also,
cred.
they don't care. No, they don't care. So it's really important for each job you apply to, you need to optimize that resume for every single position
You
all
know
the
I have a
time.
module about that. It's customization, because that is the thing that like, you know, burns people out and they're like, I don't want to do that. But the thing is, it really is necessary, because again, like we have to speak to our audience, and no one wants to hear that, because we know, like we've all been on the other side of that experience where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this resume over and over and over today. But the thing is, you're speaking to your audience in the way that they're going to be receptive to. We have to remember that, like, that's the goal. It's not a one and done. Right, you're not on the street corner twirling a mattress sign hoping that someone
No.
sees it,
Look at
right? Like
me.
you want to speak to your audience. Just like, you know, I want to speak to the creatives listening to this. It's like, I'm not going to talk to you about operations. I'm going to talk to you about the creative experience, right? And so there's something about that. And as creative professionals, we do this for our clients. We help them speak to their audience. So like, I'm very like passionate about the mission of just like making sure people know that we have to do that for ourselves, because we're the product. All right.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I hear the same struggles that you're saying. I just spent all this time on my resume perfecting it. Great. You have a base resume, and then you take the job description, and if there's a bullet on that job description that's asking for something specific that you have experience in, you need to ask yourself, if someone reads this resume, are they going to know that? They're not going to know that unless you put it on there. So, let's say they said this, you must have worked for a dog food client. I'm just using an example. Then you have a bullet corresponding to that exact thing on your resume. You want that person, eventually a human's going to read it, to open that and say, it's like, this job was created just for this candidate. When can we get him in for an interview? This is awesome.
But it gets you the end result if you do it right, you know, right? That's why I created the course. I was like, I just want to give people the start to finish of like how to do this every section, because we just get so overwhelmed. And, you know, when you think about it, there's so many things it needs to do, and there's so many components on there that you need to represent. It feels like, oh my gosh, it's this insurmountable thing. And then, as you know, as creatives, we then have to move to the portfolio, which is even more work. I'm trying to help people find ways to streamline this, and your insight is super valuable as someone who's receiving hundreds of these.
It's so refreshing when you see someone that's followed the rules and you're like, oh my gosh. Even if I don't have a role for them right now, I want to get them on the phone. I want to get them on a Zoom. I want to talk to this person, because when I do have a position that opens, they are going to be the person that I'm going to want to reach out to.
Because they've demonstrated that
I did the work.
you
I
yeah they
mean,
did the
it's,
work. And also, if you're going to be someone's advocate to a client, you want to feel good about the person you're pushing forward, right? You don't want to push somebody forward that might be not able to have an interview, might not be able to articulate what they can do in a role, might not be able to like just connect with the other humans, because their materials are such a mess that that's indicative of what may be down the road in some type of interview situation. So I'm sure it makes your job easier when you're like, this person is on it, which means they're probably going to be on it through the entire interview process, right?
I'd love to help every single person that reaches out
Right.
and wants some advice, but there's just not enough hours in the day, unfortunately. But when
Right.
people do have that extra special thing where they're following the rules, if you don't know what those rules are, Jamie can tell you.
Yeah, right.
I
It's
mean, there's just
yeah.
like that as a simple, you've taken
Right.
all this time to develop this course and it's so comprehensive that it just makes it easy. So
Yeah.
that's part of it. Okay, so we need the good resume. We get to the portfolio. Can't tell you how many times I've seen a Dropbox with
Oh, yeah.
links. And it's like,
Wow, no.
there's probably great material in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't open it. It's too big. Or sometimes I get a
Oh.
warning, or I don't have time to click through each thing and try to figure out what goes where. Are these logos we're talking about? Is this video? Is this a landing page? Is this web?
Yes.
What is it? So,
That's yeah. And you don't have any context into how that person did the work, what the challenge was, what the role that was that they held, who they worked with. And those are the things that you need to be able to advocate for them. So getting you that information only helps the candidate because then they're basically giving you the words to say on their behalf. But without that, how are you gonna talk to your client about how this person's a great fit when you're like, I don't know, I saw a folder full of stuff. You know, right?
and do you have time to click through all that?
Yeah.
Because you're running your
Yes.
marketing department, you're running the design department,
Yeah.
and you're the creative director. Do you have time to click through all that? They're going to think this person doesn't know what they're doing.
You know, I talked to a lot of my clients about this. It's like what you do before the interview is going to indicate what you're going to do in the job. And so if you are sending something in that's, you know, completely disorganized and not thought through, that's an indicator that that might be how you approach your creative work or or the projects you're given. Maybe that's not the case, but it's what people see and it's what they take away. And if you're a crazy talented person and you're just like so good with some specific area of creative, but it's just, you know, kind of in a pile, people aren't going to take that away. They're going to take away the fact that, like, oh my gosh, like you couldn't put the effort in to just even tell me what this was. And people like effort because that again shows that you're going to be successful in the role. You know, you as a recruiter see the effort. And so you're like, I want to send it to this client who's then going to see the effort. It absolutely will work for you if you put the effort in. And it makes your job so much easier because you're like, oh, I know exactly how valuable you are in these spaces. And I know exactly the clients to pitch you to. I'm assuming it would move it so much faster when you get that information.
Because now let's say that I find someone that I know is talented and maybe I need to work with them a little bit, which happens all the time. You're like, you just told me all these great things you did. I don't see that on your resume. So I want you to add that. It's
Yeah.
helping them. You know, as long as you're honest and truthful, you're not going to make anything up, but
Right.
put it on there. And then we can package them up and get them to the next stage. But I would never present someone that's not ready
Right.
because as a recruiter, how is that going to look to my client?
And
You
when everybody
know?
looks good, everybody's happy. But
Right.
when
And
something fails, it's like, oh my gosh, it's embarrassing. You know, there's a risk involved, right? Because you have a business. And so who you pitch to your clients, it's reflective of how you do your business. You want to make sure that, you know, the person is polished or the person is able to, you know, be able to have a interview, have a basic phone screen and come across as intelligent and articulate, prepped for the answers. Let's talk about interviews.
Please.
Like what, so when so you get a great candidate, right? You get a great candidate who has the portfolio dialed in. They have a resume that's well thought out. They've reached out to you and said, hey, I'm in the market. I'm looking for XYZ. What's the process that you use to be able to know, can I put this person into an interview situation? Just so people understand what happens after they send something in, where do you go with that?
We start with a message, whether that's an email or, it's through the website or whatever it is. Seriously, how people respond is very important. So if they're going to respond to me in a polite, professional manner, great, we're going to move on to the next thing. I usually like to do a phone screen first to get some preliminaries out of the way. And then
Yeah.
I'll schedule, like nowadays, a Zoom
Yeah.
because, oh my goodness, I mean, COVID was awful. However, it did teach us how to interview on Zoom, how to do conduct meetings on Zoom, do
Yes.
podcasts, all this great stuff that has sped up the recruiting and hiring process so much.
Oh, I
Because
bet.
before that, you'd have to, if you can get a day off from work, are
Right.
you going to say you're going to the dentist? Whatever, make it a big
Yes.
excuse, then get there. Then, that's not just an hour, it's like a 2-hour process for a person or maybe longer.
Yeah.
To try to do that, it's very difficult. A Zoom, you can do in 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. Sometimes we meet in person, but it always starts with a phone screen. That is very important. I had one last week, and on paper, this guy was perfect for this role. I was like so excited. I thought, I don't know, did I wake him up when I called? I mean, it
Oh
was
no.
like, so I was like, It's not going to work. I knew
Oh,
it.
no.
I know my client
Yeah.
because as recruiters, we take the time to really know our clients. We know
Right.
what's going to work for them, what's not going to work. So
Yes.
this attitude wasn't going to fly.
Yes. Yeah.
So
And enthusiasm counts for so much. And if you're, it doesn't matter if you're introverted, extroverted, if you don't like talking to people, if you're not a social person, you have to know that, like, how you come across, especially on the phone, when someone can't see your face, there has to be enthusiasm. If that's the only enthusiasm you put into your day, I always tell my clients, if you are exhausted, but you can get that 10 minutes of enthusiastic dialogue going in the most important conversation of the day, which is probably with a recruiter or interview, you know, hiring manager, that is going to get you to the next level. Right. So, like, save it up for that moment. If you're someone that is a low energy person, and this is how I felt as a hiring manager, but when you see someone that's enthusiastic, you just immediately assume, oh, well, they're excited about this position. If you don't feel the enthusiasm, you feel like they don't really want that. They're probably just taking it for a paycheck because they don't seem interested. That enthusiasm is so critical. And I'm always coaching people to, like,
It
just, like, go at it with everything you have and
is.
then take a nap.
Yeah,
Right.
you
Like,
can rest later. You know,
yeah,
take a
right.
have some coffee before the call, whatever you need
Yeah,
to do, right? So
yes.
first impressions are everything
Everything.
because if I'm the person that's going to get you to the client,
Right.
or if you're not using a recruiter and you're talking to the HR department within an organization, you have to have a great first impression. That's going to
Yes.
get you to the next step. So
It
your
is.
resume is maybe a first impression and
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
gotten you so far. You know, you worked so hard on that resume. You
Yes.
optimize it for that one job. You spent all that time doing it. You have to show why you're a fit verbally.
Right. And we
So
gotta
let's.
practice. We gotta practice those things. Like,
And I
I
tell
do.
people, talk in the mirror to your, I still do that.
Oh yeah. Write
I
down what
see.
you're gonna say so you know, so you have an idea. And I prep people for interviews all the time. And we go through the, like, tell me about yourself question that usually people just have this kind of verbal diarrhea because they don't know when to stop talking or if they've gotten to the point that they were gonna make and they've sort of lost the plot. And as a recruiter, you probably hear a lot of that and you're just like, I don't know what's happening right now, you know, because that you can tell the person's probably nervous, they probably didn't prepare, but that's again a roadblock. And so I want to make sure people know these things. So it's like, oh, this is the struggle I've had. I need to get better at this one thing because a lot of people, like you said, they may have amazing portfolios on paper and in pixels, they look amazing. But then when there is the verbal interaction, it's like it's not there. And they just feel it sounds like they're just lethargic and uninterested.
Okay, write it down.
Yeah.
Right, especially if you're on a phone call or
Yes.
if you're on a Zoom, put the notes under the, you know,
Yes.
the camera view. You've
Exactly.
got, I have mine
Exactly.
here. It's okay to do that. It's
Yeah.
okay to take notes also in an interview. It looks
Right.
awesome.
Yes.
But you know, if you don't know the questions to ask, if you're like, I have no idea, look them up.
I have a YouTube channel with 20 videos that are exactly that, where I go through interview questions with different types of hiring managers. And it's like, prep with that. Get your mind in the zone to have that initial conversation. Cause it's like you said, it's going to push you along. It's going to move you fast in the process if you're someone that can show up this way with everything that's, like, super dialed in, you know? Right. And, like, you put thought into it. And that's what we want to hire. You've hired creatives. I've hired creatives. You want someone who you can tell is going to put thought into this role. They're going to put thought into the job. They're going to put thought into how they interact with people in the team or clients. It all is representative of how you do the job, how you approach the process of getting hired.
And I, Jimmy, I like how you said different types of interview questions. Oh my gosh, you need to know what those are. Not
Yeah.
everyone's just conversational. I would
Yes.
love it if all interviews were like this, but sometimes you have more structured,
Yes.
you know, tell us about a time that you
Yes.
failed and how did you overcome it? You need to be ready for those questions.
Yes, you know, I mean, honestly, a lot of people are not good at interviewing. So you might get an interviewer, someone who's interviewing a hiring manager who has never done that before. And they don't know how to have a conversation and pull things out of you that are going to be relevant. They went to Google and they figured out, okay, these are the questions I should ask. And they're just typing away as you talk because they don't know another way to do it. So it makes it awkward for you. So knowing that, like, you're maybe not the only unskilled person at the table, right? Like, it's okay. We're all learning new things all the time, but just showing up prepared will help you realize, okay, so this person maybe is not a great interviewer. So I'm just going to make sure I have a lot of enthusiasm. I'm very detailed with how I'm answering the questions.
If you have a person like that, maybe trying to ask a lot of questions so they'll start
Yes.
talking.
Yep.
Because a lot
Yeah.
of times we get the interviewer to start talking more and they
Yes.
think the interview went really well. So,
Absolutely. Yeah. Once it gets to a conversation, you're just like, oh, I could spend time with this person because hiring someone is all about finding the person that you can spend 40 plus hours with and can do the job, but like, can you be in conversation with them every day? You know, right? Like, that's absolutely what they're trying to measure for.
You always want to research the person that's interviewing you as
Oh,
well. So
yes.
it's so easy. Oh my
Yes.
gosh. You have LinkedIn. See where their history, where have they worked? Maybe you know some of the same people. Cause you know, this
Yes.
the creative world isn't it's big, but it's small too,
Yeah.
you know,
Yep, it
especially if you're
is.
in a certain town or your town and things are crossover. But
Right.
look where they went to school. Maybe you have a common ground there. Maybe you're
Yeah.
interested in some of the same interests or groups or those types of things. So
Yeah.
you can drop if you're savvy and you can drop that in a conversation, that's great.
Yes.
If you get a calendar invite and there's more than one person listed on that, you're going to do that for every person on there because
Absolutely.
maybe all of them will be on the call. Maybe just one will. You'll get there and there's six people. You don't know. Do your research so
Yeah.
you have notes on each person because it can only help.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, again, the research we do for our clients on our audience to be able to come up with great branding expressions, to be able to come up with great multimedia campaigns, that's what you're doing for yourself. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. Like Google stalk this person who is hiring you so that you can understand who they are, where they've worked, what their interests are. Maybe there's photos of them at events that you've been to and you actually realize, oh, we were at that same thing last year in Chicago. You want to make sure that you understand the human behind just the person that's asking the questions, right? Because that's the human you might work with every day. And so, you know, making sure that you're communicating with and connecting with that person as people and not just like, you know, as boss and employee. And if you can get to that personal point and have that conversation about, you know, your pets or whatever, like the icebreakers help so much. They help so much to just calm everyone's nerves, you know, because everybody's nervous.
People interview, everyone's nervous. That's so
Yes.
true. We don't like to interview. I mean, I like to interview people, of course, but you know, I get
Yeah.
nervous too.
Right. But you
I'm
do
like,
it.
oh
Yeah.
my gosh.
And you
And I
do
do
it
it
for
every
a
day.
living. You're doing it for a living. Like you might have a creative director who hasn't hired someone on their team in 3 years. And they're like, oh, okay, I got to figure out how to interview people and get the right fit because this person is leaving. Hiring managers are not professional interviewers. And so they, you know, we have to remember that too. It's like it's a human and they're trying to figure it out. I do want to talk about ghosting when we talk about interviewers. Like, let's talk about ghosting because that's a big one. And I see a lot of people posting on LinkedIn. They got ghosted by another recruiter. They got ghosted by a company that, and I've had, you know, experiences ghosting. And if you listen to season one of my podcast,
Yeah, I
I
did.
a not great experience with ghosting from like a long distance, you know, job application process. So I know how it feels to be in that space. Explain the experience on the recruiting side when you're not getting back to people. Cause I know you're getting, you have however many open recs, you have however many people sending different types of materials to you for those types of jobs, whatever the requirement is that your client is asking for. There's so much stuff you have to filter through. And I know you can't get back to everyone.
So I think ghosting can be a couple different things. The podcast you're talking about was really good and I listened to that and it
Thanks.
was a big time ghosting. So
Yes,
like
it was big
that it
time.
was awful. So go check it out if you haven't seen it already. So when someone just sends a resume in and they don't hear back from a recruiter, they're like, I got ghosted. Maybe you weren't even close to being a fit and they didn't
Yeah.
have time to get back to you because there's not enough hours in the day.
And there
And
are
I hate to
1,200
say,
applicants, right?
I
Like,
hate to say that. So
yeah.
you need to keep in mind that the recruiters are human too. I love helping people. So it's really hard for me to not be able to get back to every single person.
Yeah.
I try to make an effort.
Totally.
But if there's something, like we said earlier, they followed all the rules, their messaging is really good to
Yeah.
me. That's really key. I will probably reach out and say, hey, you know, let's set up a time to talk, you know, can do a call or whatever that might
Right.
be. And then we can
Right.
keep you in mind for future things. I don't have anything now, but maybe
Yeah.
keep you in mind. So,
Yeah.
but when you're interviewing and you get ghosted, that is absolutely devastating. And with our company, all of our recruiters have worked in the industry, by the way, because that gives us a really in-depth way of understanding the roles. We've been there, we've hired for them, we've worked in them. I always get back to people. So
Yeah.
if you're out there there and I haven't, when you've applied for a job or when you've interviewed for a job, let me know and I'll give you a reason why. But when you've interviewed for a job through one of our clients, sometimes the client, we don't hear from the client. Maybe, they had some layoffs or that something happened or what have you. But we're going to keep in touch with our candidate because I'm the recruiter, I'm the middleman. So I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm going to keep trying to find out. But when you do get ghosted, after you've interviewed, people say, well, how many times should I keep reaching out? What should I do to follow up? And slippery slope, right? Because you're like, I don't want to look pushy. So you have to give people time. You have to keep in mind also, people are busy. Just if you don't hear when they said, I'll let you know by next Friday, and you haven't heard by next Friday, maybe their child got sick. Maybe they've been out a few days. I know this happened with someone recently that I was helping through the job process. They ended up getting the job because they were patient. And they waited, but you have to be very careful when you're trying to message and you don't want to look, you want to, maybe you follow up, say, I haven't heard, I'm just, I want you to know I'm still interested in next steps.
Exactly.
Keep it short and sweet.
Yes. And I think reiterating your excitement for the role, it's less about I need a job, when is my job ready? And more about I am still very interested in making a contribution to this company, right? It has to be about them, and we have to flip that script. So it's not about like, when are you going to tell me the things so I can go out and, like get off the unemployment, or I can buy the new mattress, or I can do whatever I've been waiting to do because I'm waiting for money. But we can't make it seem like that. So, what I'm hearing from you is like being a good communicator, being a clear communicator, but being someone who is putting the client first versus themselves first is probably going to break through.
And by all means, after that interview, you've sent them a thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my
For
goodness.
sure. So, an
Same day.
email.
Same
Same
day.
day. Recap a couple of things. Do not make it super duper long. They're busy. They're running a company or they're running a department or they're not recruiters.
Exactly. They're likely the busiest person in the department. If you are interviewing with a creative director, a VP of marketing, someone who is making the decisions, they are the busiest people. They have the least amount of time. So you standing out and treating them like a human and not just like a number or on your checklist of like companies you've interviewed with, that goes so much further. Because I know when I was a creative director and senior creative director running a department, it was like the people who took the time to be like, hey, I really enjoyed our conversation, really liked this. I'm excited to do this because of these reasons. Just wanted to say thanks for your time. And then that's the tone they used when they reached out, say a week later to check in.
Just checking in.
It's so important to have the right tone, but also to not feel like the ghosting. So say you get back to some, you say, I'll get back to somebody on Friday, right? I'm going to let them know Friday. Something happens. You don't have a chance to because you're pulled into a meeting. There's some last minute client situation that we all know happens. And you get to the next week. What's your advice to that person? Like, how many times should they reach out past that point, knowing that maybe, you felt like it went really well, you had a good rapport, you don't feel like you're not going to hear back, right? You feel like, yeah, I'll probably hear something, but sometimes people just disappear. I have had experiences where I've been asked to travel. It's like, okay, well, now you're going here. Oh, okay. Or you're going here because the client wants us to present this thing. And I'm in the middle of an interview process. And it's like, you're trying to do your job too. Tell our audience the cadence and how you should approach that and when you should just abandon ship. Because sometimes you're not going to hear back from that person. Maybe they're not professional. Maybe they left the company. Like, who even knows?
And each case is a little different. So it's very difficult. If you can find someone to ask advice, great, do it. Because everyone's a little different. Like when someone asks my advice, I'm like, okay, well, they said they get back to you, they haven't. When you're working with a recruiter, they're going to be the ones that are going to relay this information. So it's kind of nice because you don't have to worry about it. Recruiter does all the work. So let's say you're not working with a recruiter and they said they're going to get back. You've sent your thank you. Okay. Maybe you even took an extra step and you wrote them a card and you said, thank you so much. That is so cool to do. So you're like, next week, Monday. Oh, they told me next week. Well, Monday's just the beginning of the week. We're not going to reach out to them on Monday, right? Because Monday's like busy. Everyone's getting back from the weekend. Maybe Tuesday comes and you haven't. Okay. So it's Wednesday. Send them a note, send them a follow up, forward that same email if you haven't heard. Say, hey, want to, just checking in. I know you said next week. I am looking forward to next steps, or make the message a little different than it was before. And then you need to be patient and you need to wait.
And that's the hardest
And
part. It's the hardest part.
it
As Tom Petty said, it is the hardest part.
is. And maybe you're not going to hear.
Yeah, and that sucks. That
It's so
really,
hard.
to
It
not
is.
close the
It's
loop
so
is
hard.
very, it's very painful, because especially when you just put all this time and maybe you've had multiple rounds. And I do feel like it's not fair to candidates when you've spent time with that person, hours with that person, and you don't even let them know. I do want to ask you about, there's background checks, right? And what I've experienced hiring is every place that I've hired where they require a background check, that's a third party that we hire. It's not like I'm calling around to find out if you graduated college. Like, someone else is doing this and the company's paying them. And so you send the information, and that does take, sometimes it takes like 2 weeks. And so we can't make an offer until we know that you're not a convicted felon, that you have, you don't have some kind of record. There's not some sort of situation, and I worked in the childcare industry. And so we really did background checks,
Oh,
because
geez,
like,
yeah.
you have to make sure, right, that the people that are going to be adjacent to kids can be near children, right? And so sometimes they're lengthy, but that holds up the process. And I know a lot of people wonder, like, why did it take so long for them to get back to me and tell me no? And it's probably because they were doing a background check on their top candidate to make sure that person could actually work there before they say no to the people who are essentially the runners up, right? And
Good point.
it's sometimes you just feel
Absolutely.
like, wow, there's so much time. Like, it's been a month. You don't know. They could be, going through some other process. They could be restructuring. Sometimes I've had jobs where they get back to you and it's like, hey, this position's still open. We had to put it on hold for some budgetary thing, and now we want to, right? So if you haven't heard, it could still be out there. But you also do need to mentally start to let go and move on to other things, right? And so, like, I think working with a recruiter and having a partner will allow you to say, okay, what else is out there? These are the types of things. I felt like that went great. I don't want to just, have one iron in the fire. I want to make sure. So, like, when people come to you and that experience happens, I'm sure you're looking out like, okay, well, let's see. I haven't heard back from the client. I don't know what they're doing. Let's see where else could possibly use this skill set, right? Like, who else do you know? Because obviously you want to make your clients happy if they're looking for someone.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that, keep things positive.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Because just because they didn't get back to you doesn't mean it
Yes.
was you or something, like something could have happened. Maybe there's an illness in someone's family and they had
Yes.
to take some time off. And if you're like, I can't believe you didn't get back to me, this is so rude, and you leave a bad review on Glassdoor, you do
Yeah.
something and it
Or
wasn't anyone's
LinkedIn.
fault or LinkedIn,
Yes.
keep things positive because you never know. They
You
might be
don't.
like, oh my gosh, I wanted to hire you, but my VP's cousin came in and they wanted to give that person a shot
Right.
and then they
Right.
didn't work out. So now we're back in it again. We want to hire you. So
Exactly.
never know. You never know. So
Yeah, we
keep
can't
things
burn.
positive.
Right. We can't burn the bridges because we don't know. And the thing is, I always tell people, what is meant for you will not pass you by. If this is not your job, that means there's something that's probably better out there. And I know that from experience, because, like, I had that ghosting experience. I've had a lot of different experiences from the point of, like, me going out and looking for jobs as a designer, as an art director, as a creative director, as a senior creator, all the different levels of interviews that you need. And sometimes this is just how it goes, right? Like, you have to keep it positive. You have to understand that there is a process, and it's similar to how, like, as a creative, we have multiple clients. Every single client feels like they're your only client. They are number one. There's no one else. We feel like that too. And I'm sure you get people that, get demanding and that sort of thing. It's like, we have to remember that, like, we're on the other side of, that person is also on the other side of. So keeping yourself from going into that imposter syndrome, right? And feeling like you don't have anything to contribute, or like you're not good enough, or whatever it is. It's like, if you got to the interview, you're good enough. It's
Oh,
all
yeah.
about, it's about alignment at that point. It's not about your value or your skills. 'Cause, like, they've seen those.
There's a lot of competition out there, and if you've gotten that far, you've
Yeah.
differentiated yourself, you've done all those extra things
Yes.
that have gotten you to that point. Congratulations. But
Exactly.
not every job's, not everyone chooses everybody. I mean, it's just
It's impossible,
so
right?
frustrating, but
Like,
it is what it is.
yeah. And sometimes you have multiple candidates that are so good, and it is very hard to figure out who you're going to hire, because you're like, wow, we have some really talented people. And it's not about the best, it's just about the right fit for that organization, maybe the size, the structure, the politics, the personalities involved. There are so many things that are beyond just you as a creative person doing the creative work. There's all these other things that need to fit, and we forget that. So
You do.
in the last couple minutes, I want to ask you, what advice you want to leave with our audience? Like, if there's one thing thing you really want them to remember in this process, working with recruiters, anything we've talked about today, I want you to leave some lasting advice for people so they understand how to move themselves forward and how to work with someone like you very effectively.
Sure. I think we haven't touched on this too much, but I think the power of networking.
Oh my
and
gosh.
it's
Yes.
so important.
Yes.
Whether you're networking on LinkedIn, which is great, okay, but try to go to in-person networking events.
Yeah.
Everyone's in the same boat. If you're more of an introvert and you're not as outgoing, remember at networking events, a lot of people are going, they're taking a step to get there. They're all kind of feeling the same way.
Exactly.
So not everyone knows everybody
no.
in the world.
Yeah.
I met someone for the first time a few weeks ago at a networking event. It was right after the holidays, you know, and I'm like, it's cold. I don't know if I want to go. And I met this designer and she was fantastic. And I'm like, I don't know you. Let's set up a call. So we had a phone call scheduled for the next week. I got a part-time contract role for one of my clients between the time I met her, scheduled the call and our call. And
Amazing.
I talked to her about it and she got hired. So
amazing.
She was
You
on
never
top
know.
Of my mind. You just never know. It was like,
yeah.
What a great fit.
Yes.
You have to go. You have to introduce yourself to people. You have to get on their radar.
Yes.
Reach out on LinkedIn. If you see a job and you've applied to it, send a note to someone.
I have templates in my resume course for those notes
Great.
Because they're so important.
Perfect.
You can't not have them. You have to follow up. Yes.
And I'm like, whoa, everyone else that applied last night while I was sleeping, I'm skipping you. I'm going straight to this person because
yes.
they took the extra time to reach out.
Right.
They went above and beyond everyone else.
Yep.
They're being proactive.
Yes. That's how it works.
They're getting their name up there. LinkedIn gives you a pre-populated message. Do not choose that. You might have 10 messages that you just kind of rework. That's fine. Write me a message. If you don't know who the person is that posted it, find someone in HR or someone that's has a hiring position.
Yes.
Maybe it's the creative director, maybe the person above them. Send them a note. Hey, I saw this job posted. I feel I'd be a great fit because of this.
Yes.
Do you know who I can talk to learn more?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, that's similar to my template. It's like, give them a reason to be interested when you reach
right.
out. Don't just say, I need a job and this is a job. When you don't give them a reason to be interested, that's what they see. They see you seeing them as a number or a way to get a direct deposit in their account every other week. That's not the goal. The goal is for you to do awesome creative work at a place you connect with and feel good about and also get paid for that, obviously. We want to treat it differently. And the problem is that I see people applying for 300, 400 jobs, you have now mechanized this process to the point where you're not standing out at all because you're treating everything the same. And when you treat someone the same as the last person, they're going to treat you the same as the last person. You're not going to see them and they're not going to see you. And that's going to be it. And then you're going to be stuck in this place of just dissatisfaction with your career. And you're either stuck in a toxic job or you're stuck on unemployment and you're worried about the money running out. And like, we've all been there. I know that feeling.
Yeah,
and
it's
like,
scary.
Yes, it's very scary. And so, you know, that's why I'm putting these podcasts together and bringing you expert insights. And one other thing on networking I want to mention before we wrap up is that I have a cheat sheet on my website that you can download for free on the homepage of my website. And it is about networking. It's about the questions that you can ask to people to have these like easy networking conversations, because networking is about being curious and not about what's in it for you, right? You want to ask questions because you want to get that dialogue rolling. If you don't know what the questions are, download this cheat sheet. You can use it IRL at events. You can use it on Zoom calls. You can use it in your DMs. If you're messaging someone, this will help you so much. And again, it's totally free. I want people to understand that like there is a way to do it and feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can push your career forward. You don't need to be the most gregarious, most outgoing, finger gunning person in the room talking.
Right.
To everybody. It's not about being loud. It's about being direct and clear. And I think that's who you remember. I'm sure that's who you remember.
Oh, it
event,
is.
Right?
It's great. So that's my piece of advice.
Yes.
For today.
That's so great. Thank you so much. This has been
so
helpful. I love this. I really appreciate your time helping our audience understand, like, especially in the creative field, what it takes to compete with all of the noise in the system, the ATS, the, you know, all the conflicting things. And again, like you said, we're humans, right? So just connect with another human. Be able to articulate your value so that human can be your advocate. That's like, I'm sure how you found success in your career, being able to find people who can do that. So you have great candidates for your clients, And also your clients are happy. Like everybody wins when we do these things. So thank you so much again. I really appreciate it. If people want to reach out to you, where can they find you, especially if they are
Great.
in the Kansas City area?
Our website is landajobnow.com, and I am Suzanne at LandaJobNow. So
Nice and
thank you,
easy.
Jamie.
Yes,
Thanks for
thank
having
you
me. It
so
was
much.
so
It was so
fun.
great. This was so awesome. And we will be back next Thursday with another amazing guest. So if you have not subscribed, please do that. Please share it with your friends because this is the way that I can get this content out there. And I am a solopreneur. I'm doing all this myself. And so I want to make sure that people are getting the help that they need. And I don't advertise. I go through word of mouth. And I want you guys to get value out of this. And the more people that can share it with, their friends and their creative partners and their coworkers, the more value is in the world. Thank you again for listening, and we will catch you next week.